Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes. We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger, and I'm your host, Cal Fritzy. My line sounds kind of funny. Do I sound kind of funny? And I don't mean ha-ha funny, people. I mean, can you hear me, and do I sound clear? If I don't sound clear, I'm going to have to get back in here. Yeah, my line sounds kind of weird, but if I sound okay, then there we go. Oh, thanks, Doc. And Doc can hear me fine. Okay. Yeah, as usual, I am on the warpath. It must be Friday night, and it's the F-bomb show, as everybody has figured out. There was something really strange. Hold your, you sound Canadian. Eh? There was something really strange that came across my desk this week. I'm going to share that with you. And this is unbelievable. And I'll get into that with you in a moment. But there is something, there's something very precious I want to share with you. And this is courtesy of Bigfoot, a Bigfoot's place. If you scroll up in the show highlights, you'll see a link to Bigfoot's place. And he posted this. It was quite a while ago. But it is so priceless that I want to reshare it before I get into the topic at hand. This is the 72 visitors. And you know what? I think subliminally I did pick this out to share with you because it does tie into the main topic at hand. But like I say, the 72 visitors. Now, the following is based on a joke that Loki, remember, everybody remembers Loki, Tim Curlin, that is Halls of Valhalla. He had one of his internet radio broadcasts, and he shared this. So I'm going to share this to you verbatim, not only because I miss Loki, but because I admire Bigfoot. Now, after being killed by the American forces who stormed his compound, Osama bin Laden wakes up to find himself in a place that's even hotter than the deserts of Saudi Arabia. He finds it hard to either breathe or move, but is still able to cry out, "Allah, where am I, and where are my 72 virgins?" After some time, bin Laden is approached by an American Indian, who proceeds to shoot an arrow into bin Laden's midsection. He feels the pain of the arrow penetrating his flesh, but suffers no other effects because, well, he's already dead. The Indian draws closer, which causes bin Laden to wonder if he's going to get scalped. "Who are you?" asks the dead terrorist, wanting to know who has been tormenting him. "My name is Powhatan," the Indian replies. "I am the leader of the Powhatan Confederation." Powhatan pulls the arrow out of bin Laden's body, giving him another burst of pain, and then walks away. A second man approaches Osama bin Laden. He is tall and European-looking and wears a powdered wig on his head. Although bin Laden loathes the United States, he has studied enough of its history to recognize its first president, George Washington. The man, who cannot tell a lie, draws his sword and pierces bin Laden with it. It's as with Powhatan's arrow, bin Laden feels the pain of being pierced but suffers no other effects. After Washington leaves bin Laden, another European man approaches. This one has red hair and is carrying a copy of the Quran. Once again, bin Laden is served by his knowledge of his enemy's history and recognizes this man to be Thomas Jefferson. "Why, infidel, do you have the Holy Quran?" bin Laden asked Jefferson. "I read the Quran to learn how to deal with filthy scum like you," Jefferson answers before walking away. Bin Laden is similarly visited by James Madison, who merely slaps him in the face, and by William Henry Harrison, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson, while, like George Washington earlier, thrust their swords into him. After several other men take their turns at approaching, tormenting and leaving Osama bin Laden, two women approach him. Bin Laden is horrified that their heads are not covered. As he wanders, who could be so brazen to uncover their heads? They identify themselves as Ella Fitzgerald and Pearl Bailey. Then to his horror, they start singing a duet. Now to most people, being serenaded by Ella Fitzgerald and Pearl Bailey would be very enjoyable. But to a music-hating Muslim fundamentalist like Bin Laden, it is sickening. Later on, Bin Laden is visited by Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, who tell him that he should have accepted Jesus as his savior. But I have always revered the prophet Isa, Bin Laden protests. Yes, he was a prophet, but that was not his only mission, Falwell explains. You did not accept him as your savior, and that's why you are here, Robertson adds, before the two preachers walk away. Numerous others arrive to torment Bin Laden and leave him until he hears a voice saying, this is the last one. A young black man holding a pit bull by the leash approaches Bin Laden, who is revulsed by the presence of a dog. My name is Michael Vick, says the man, who then turns the dog on Bin Laden. The pit bull takes several bites out of Bin Laden, who feels the pain of being bitten, but again suffers no other effects. Vick pulls the dog away from the terrorist, and like everyone else before him, he takes his leave. Finally, Bin Laden is approached by a man who looks and dresses like an Arab. Although Bin Laden has never seen any pictures of Muhammad, he somehow realizes that he is now being visited by the founder of Islam. O prophet, peace be upon you, Bin Laden cries out and then asks, what has happened to me? I'm afraid that there was a typographical error that has arisen during the copying and translation of the Holy Quran, Muhammad explains. In reality, we are each to be visited not by 72 virgins, but by 72 Virginians. And there you go. Ain't that something else? That is so sweet. I just love poetic justice, don't you? So I want to thank Bigfoot for that. That was absolutely fantastic. Now moving into the topic at hand. Do I really have to do this? I don't want to do this. This one. You know, when you do these shows, it's amazing what you come across when you're doing the research for your programs. It's amazing. Just when you think Islamic stupidity cannot sink to a lower level, all of a sudden, it manages to do so. And this one really had me going. I thought it was a joke, okay? You know, I thought I was reading The Onion. But no, this is from the American Thinker. And that link is up there in the show highlights for you as well. But this one just really floored me. Islamabad, this conference took place. Sharia correspondent is reporting it. Muslim clerics declare women should cease to exist. And I'm looking at the article, and it does say in parentheses, and no, this is not a joke. The Council of Islamic Ideology, CII, okay, excuse me. You got to be kidding me, Islamic. Sorry. The Council of Islamic Ideology concluded in their 192nd meeting on Thursday with the ruling that women are un-Islamic and that their mere existence contradicts Sharia and the will of Allah. As the meeting concluded, CII Chairman Manula Mohammed Khan Sharani noted that women by existing defied the laws of nature. And to protect Islam and the Sharia woman should be forced to stop existing as soon as possible. The announcement comes a couple of days after CII's 191st meeting, where they dubbed laws related to minimum marriage age to be un-Islamic. Okay. Sidebar. What? Hello? They noted that women by existing defy the laws of nature. And to protect Islam and the Sharia, women should be forced to stop existing as soon as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, did they really think this through? Stuck on stupid since the 7th century, what can I tell you? Now, after declaring women to be un-Islamic, Shirani explained that there were actually two kinds of women. There's the harem and the mukru, or makru, my apologies. Harem and makru. Makru? Makaru. Macaroni. Macaroni and cheese. Macadamian. Macadamian nut. Okay. Okay, I'm getting carried away. Harem and makru. Hell, settle down. In quotes, he says, "We can divide all women into the world into two distinct categories. Those who are harem and those who are makru. Now, the difference between harem and makru is that those who are harem and those who are makru, is that the former is categorically forbidden, while the latter is really, really disliked." And this is what he said. This is what he said. I'm not kidding you, okay? Like I said, I thought I was reading The Onion. Yep. Shirani said, "We can divide all women into the world into two distinct categories, those who are harem and those who are makru." Harem? And makrun is the former and categorically forbidden, while the latter is really, really disliked. And he didn't say, we don't like them too much. He said that they're really, really disliked. Their own Muslimas. Holy smokes. What planet am I living on? Now, after declaring women to be un-Islamic, Shirani explained further. He explained how the women around the world can ensure that they got promoted to being makru, first from being downright harem. Oh, yeah, because, I'm a harem woman, and I want to get promoted to be a makru. That's right. I want to be an Islamic sex slave, yeah, and I want to marry off my daughters when they're 9 years old, because after all, the Islamabad Sharia correspondent, he reported, they said that the Council of Islamic Ideology felt it was wrong to introduce laws related to minimum marriage ages. Okay? Yeah, so I want my daughter married off at, whenever they want. Okay. Whenever, and it's not my daughters, it's whenever they want. And those are the Islamist males. God, this is unbelievable. Okay, I got another quote from the good old Shirani here. "Now, any woman that exercises her will is harem, absolutely harem, and is conspiring against Islam and the Ummah, whereas these women who are totally subservient can reach the status of being mukra, macadamia nut." I like what Agador said. Yeah, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. "Such is the generosity of our ideology, and such is the endeavor of Muslim men like us who are the true torchbearers of gender equality. The CII chairman added, yeah. True torchbearers of gender ideology. Oh, my gosh. Now, officials told Khabarovskaya today that the council members deliberated over various historic references related to women and concluded that each woman is a source of fitna, and that is a struggle, and a perpetual enemy of Islam. They also decided that by restricting them to their subordinate, bordering on slave status, the Monamin and the Mujahideen could ensure that Islam continues to be the religion of peace, prosperity, and gender equality. All right. What the hell is wrong with these asshats? I don't think they quite thought this one through. No, I don't think they did by a long shot. Because, okay, they think that women are harem or they're makruh. Good God. And they want to obliterate us. That's what they want to do. They want to obliterate women. And I don't mean just, you know, the kafir women. No, they want to obliterate all women altogether. This is a huge freakout. I'm just wondering, how on earth would the religion of peace carry on if they eliminated all women? Because, you know, they have to breed the Shahids from somewhere, don't they? Wouldn't you think? No. Yeah, but this is from American Thinker. And believe me, this blogger, he's a smart guy. And he would never lie to us. And he's got 14 million links to back it up. The Council of Islamic Ideology, wanting to eliminate womankind, wanting to eliminate womankind. And they're serious. They're batshit crazy serious. They're not messing with you. They're telling you like it is. Women are a scourge upon Islam. And so they want to eliminate the woman. Let's get rid of the woman. Islam would be so much better. God. The depths and degrees of stupidity. And I mentioned that. They really didn't think this one out, didn't they? The only thing I can think of is that they want to get rid of all the women, you know, kill us all, wipe us off the face of the planet, and they'd be quite happy with their goats, their sheep, their donkeys. And I'm wondering, though, if they could breed with a goat or a sheep or a donkey, they wouldn't create new life. Well, they would, but it would be a new species. So now we have these Ramadana ding-dongs running around, putting fatwas on our heads, beheading our correspondents, torturing our soldiers, and they are declaring a war on women. And it's kind of a biggie. Yeah, this one's kind of a big one. And they're dead serious. Dead serious they are about this. The link to the article is in the show notes, so if you want to read it for your own edification a little later, please, by all means, I encourage you to do that. I don't understand. Like, why are they so bloody stupid, okay? Mohammed Khan Shirani? I meant no disrespect. Here's your title, CII chairman. Molana, Muhammad Khan, Shirani. How on earth do you sleep at night? Oh, snap! He don't sleep alone because he eliminated all the women. Oh, chart Kel, beep, beep, back it up. No, he doesn't sleep alone. He sleeps with his goat or his bachi-bachi boy. So who's going to breed the women? Who's going to breed the Shahids for you? My pet goat. I'm sorry, that thought just ran through my head. My pet goat. I am getting a little, how shall I put it, overwhelmed. There's a lot of stories in here I could relate to you. You know, just the usual, you know, a day in the life of the, within the Islamic realm. I got 14 million drop-down menus here. I can pick one out. But holy smokes, when this one came along, that women should cease to exist, I saw a little red there. I'm wondering what they would do with me. You know, it's kind of like that last man standing. Oh, and my drawing is done. It's kind of like that last man standing. It's either me or them, or you or them, or us and them. I prefer us and them because I really don't want to be the last woman standing because I really like having tea with my girlfriends. But it's unbelievable the absolute lunacy that rolls around in these people's minds. And these are clerics, okay? And this is an organization. This is the Council of Islamic Ideology. And they have lots of meetings. Like tons of meetings, all 192 of them meetings. And on Thursday, yesterday, they decided that women must be eliminated. They must cease to exist. Oh, my God. I've got something here I'm going to share with you. But I do want to say hello to people in the chat room. And I want to thank Agador and Bigfoot and Kath, Sarah Bella and Doc, EDL Minx, My Minx, Eric Kyle, Hold Your Awakens, and Vorpal Bite. And I want to thank people who listen and archive at a later date. On that note, I'm going to share this with you. Let me see if I can tee it up without getting a bloody pop-up, because that seems to happen a whole lot. I'm going to have to do some interpreting, because it's not memory TV. It is CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations. They're objecting to that movie called The Honor Diaries, and I'm going to play a clip of that in a moment. But right now I'm going to just stick with the topic at hand. And this is that Muslims want to get rid of all the women globally. Ain't that lovely? How are they going to accomplish that? And by the way, Muslims, there's more of us than there are of you. And that's women alone. So don't be an idiot. Boy, these people really know how to make themselves look like asshats. How do they do it? Well, they keep opening their mouths, and the foot comes in. And I'm just reading in the chat room, and Sarah Bella put something in there, and this looks interesting. Nope. Let me bring that back. Right on, Sarah Bella. This is a big story. And as Sarah Bella says, write a letter to every news agency. Write a letter to every news agency and report the news, report the truth. Don't give a spin. Like, Obama went on a vacation, and he caught a little sunfish in Hawaii. We don't care about that. Obama is sunfish anyway. That guy, I swear, he could trim the pants off of Reggie Love. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that happened too. But this Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, he's going to not do anything about it. Mark my words, he won't do a damned thing about it. He's going to let this one roll. And these are the same people that share the United Nations. How does that make you feel? I'm going to share this link with you right now, but like I say, it is in Arabic. It's in Arabic. I would have to do the translation, and I'll have to be a little fast about this. Well, actually, you know what? I do have another clip. That's it. I have another clip, but it's in Arabic, and I would have to translate that one. I'll get around to that one later on if I have time. But this one I really want to share with you. And this is how the Council of American Islamic Relations, they responded to Megyn Kelly, for example, sharing this movie about honor killings, female genital mutilation, whippings, subservience, not being allowed out of the house unless you're accompanied by a husband or a father. Raising your children to be jihadists, forcing sex upon them even if they don't want it. They can rape their own wives, but in Islam, that's all very fine and very good. I want to share this clip with you. It's partly audio, and the rest, though, for the most part, it's just text only, because, like I say, it was taped in another language. But recently, Megyn Kelly and Brooke Goldstein, they thoroughly exposed the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, the Kelly file on her show. They exposed the Muslim Brotherhood. And they, well, they've done a lot of stuff, but tonight I'm talking about CARE. But there's a group dedicated to protecting Muslim women from violence. The following parody attempts to show CARE, how silly it is to respond with childish personal attacks instead of thought. And I absolutely agree with that. How could you possibly object to the equality of women? And I don't mean those feminazis. Don't get me wrong. You know? Don't get me wrong. I am not a feminist, never have been, never will be. Feminism has ruined the lives of two generations of women. And we all know where the feminists are. When you know, a wife gets beheaded in Upper State New York, I believe that was, Bridges TV. The couple, they were Muslim. They were from the Middle East. And she wanted a divorce. And he said, sure, I'll divorce. He didn't do the talak, talak, talak. No. He took a knife and went chop, chop, chop and left her on the office of Bridges TV. Bridging television. That's not right either. Bridges TV. Folks, this is going to be a kind of a short show tonight because I am, quite frankly, I'm rather exhausted. I've had a rather busy week with my dog. She's taken a turn for the worse. I'm quite tired, so I'm probably not going to do the full. I booked it for 2 hours. I might not even make it to an hour and a half, but I did want to share this with you. Care reacts to Megyn Kelly's epic smackdown. And take a listen to this. I'm just going to bring it up for you.
Care has a systematic campaign to go around and target anybody who speaks publicly about the threat of militant Islam as Islamophobic. And they do this time and time again. And they're targeting the people within the film. And shame on them for doing that. Care has sued a former congressman, Cass Ballinger, for calling Care, quote, a fundraising arm for Hezbollah.
Part of the story because for the reasons we discussed last night, we discussed this movie last night, and that was, you won't be surprised to hear, Brooke, that they wrote us an email demanding a retraction. Well, guess what? You're not getting it.
Right on, Megyn Kelly. I'm showing the honor diaries, but look, they stopped. We blocked a film at the University of Michigan. Other showings have been blocked at the University of Illinois. We're bombarding Fox News with accusations of Islamophobia. Be sure to tell everyone that the film was made by Jews. Silence. Mr. Hooper? Fox News. Fox News refuses to retract the report on us. Megyn Kelly won't back down. Silence. Ooh, Hooper's getting upset. Oh, he's turning off the glasses. Anyone who stays is going to see an epic tantrum. Everyone's leaving the room. Oh, a few are staying back. Oh, they're shuffling out. This is an outrage. Protecting Muslim women from violence is an outrage. The Quran guarantees our right to beat our wives into submission. Do you think that Allah changed his mind? Women are our property. These people are even complaining about child brides. The Prophet himself married a little girl. How can these filthy unbelievers say it's wrong? But Mr. Hooper, they're starting to realize that Islam is wrong. Mr. Hooper, that doesn't work with Megyn Kelly. Then write her a note and get a pencil. She's just a woman. The Prophet said that most of the inhabitants of hell are women. And that women are stupid and immoral. What did you think would happen if we let them make a movie? What woman wouldn't complain about Muhammad's teachings? That is why we must oppress them. We should have all of these stupid women horsewhipped, like Putin. Islam is a religion for men. Abusing women is halal. It makes us feel strong, like the whole world belongs to us. Megyn Kelly and that stupid Brix Goldstein are ruining everything for us. It's all over for us if women start thinking for themselves. We must do their thinking for them, make them think that Allah wants them to suffer. No one will save Muslim women. Don't cry. Megyn is going to help us. I am silence. He's sulking. First, they caught us supporting Hamas. Then the Gubetz boys showed everyone what else we do. And the FBI. They turned their backs on us. Tears. If the media stops promoting us, we'll lose our power to demonize critics. We'll have no way to silence our enemies. We'll have nothing. Dear Care, How does it feel being compared to Nazis? Now you know how people feel when you demonize them for speaking out in defense of women. Like it or not, people have legitimate concerns about the treatment of women and girls in Islam. Honor killings, female genital mutilation, forced marriage, child marriage, domestic violence, and the victimization of non-Muslim girls by Muslim grooming gangs are serious issues that shouldn't be casually brushed aside with cowardly accusations of Islamophobia. By constantly attacking people who condemn these practices, you are defending the systematic oppression of women. You claim to be interested in open dialogue, but the only dialogue you seek consists entirely of groveling yes-men mindlessly agreeing with everything you say. If your obviously feigned desire to help women ever become authentic, you will work together with groups like the Clarion Project in confronting the most dangerous aspects of Sharia. If, on the other hand, you'd rather continue flooding the world,
I can do anything better than you.
And damn straight. Unbelievable. And that's exactly what it is. Islam is nothing but a cult of oppression. And this latest one coming out with this asshat group, what do they call themselves again? These Muslim clerics that gather around the Council of Islamic Ideology. In this day and age, ladies and gentlemen, this is the 21st century. How long are they going to be stuck on stupid in the 7th century? They literally beat women down, and they beat the women to death, and now they totally want to annihilate all women. This is serious. They really mean this. They say that women is bad for Islam. They think that women has defied the law of nature. Good God, good grief, good... Oh, for fuck's sake. I can't get over this. I really can't. This is going on, and I don't know where this... It took place in Islamabad, so, you know, that kind of makes sense. Now, what if this had happened, say, in the United States or Canada or the UK, Australia? What if this conference had taken place and they had come to this conclusion that women need to be annihilated? Then what would we do? We'd be putting up with another Barack Hussein Obama, who would be fine with letting them do their little thing, because that's what his brethren do, right? They carry on. They put these damned edicts out. They kill us. They don't care about us. They want us dead. Muslim men hate women. Honestly, truly, wholeheartedly. Oh, I said hi to Cal twice because I forgot I had stopped my scroll because I wanted to go up and take a look at something. Hey, Cal, you got 2 flowers. How you liking that? But this is exactly what it is. Islam wants women annihilated. They said it right there at their 192nd meeting. They want to make Islam pure, as pure as the driven snow as possibly can be, right? So, hey, I know how we're going to do this, boys. We're going to kill all the women because they're polluting the religion of peace. So let's get rid of them. Like I say, such a stupid bunch of dumbass hats. They didn't think this through one bit. Yet they built their mosques and their madrasas, and they hold their placards in the streets of London, condemning our military, our brave soldiers that fight for the very freedoms that you and I enjoy to speak about them, and say that Islam will dominate the world. Oh, my God. I tell you, if Islam dominates the world, well, they'll go extinct themselves. You know why? Because they killed all the women. Oh, my God. But when I do outrage, I'm genuine. I'm genuine. Because this is just absolute craziness. I'm on a crazy train. Every time I read an article that comes out of Islam, it's like, oh, I can see that sharp bend coming around. I'm on the crazy train, and it's speeding really fast. And if that sharp bend doesn't slow down, we're going to go over the tracks, and we're going to go down that ravine. We're going over the cliff. But you know what? We're doing it anyway. We are doing it anyway. You know why? Because we're not paying attention. We sit here and think, well, you know, whatever they want to do, let them do it. And Holder brings up a point. It doesn't mean they won't breed with infidel women or infidel women. Oh, no, Holder, they want us all dead, all the women. They want all the women dead. Absolutely. Each and every single one of us. They want us out of the picture completely. Because women are ruining the world, and they are the antithesis of what Islam is supposed to be. Oh, yeah. Like our dear little friend, Chairman Malana Muhammad Khan Shireni said, harem and mukru is that the former is categorically forbidden, and that means we're forbidden. They can't breed with the infidel women because it's forbidden. But what's really funny, the latter, the makru, is really, really disliked. I can't get over that. I can't get my head around that one. So yeah, they want to get rid of everybody within the female sector. They want to get. Yep, they're just saying, okay, we're going to clean up this religion, and we're going to get rid of the women. That is exactly what they're saying. But you know what? I'm going to take a break because, like I say, I did book the show for 2 hours, but it's going to be a short one tonight because I am really tired, and my dog is really sick, and I got to take care of her. So I'm going to take a quick break, and I want to come back with another story that I have. But if you have something you want to comment about, if you want to phone in and make your comment heard, give me a call, all right? You can Skype in or you can call me at 347-237-4318. Let's see where this goes. But in the interim, I'll see you guys back here in 4.5 minutes.
Somebody help me please.
And hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Red Fox Blogger. I'm Kel Fritzy. Now, I was talking about that issue with these F-hats who want to kill all the women globally. And I have something here, though, that ties into this. I was talking about Megyn Kelly and her on Fox News saying that there is a documentary that she is not going to bow to CARE, the Council of Islamic American Relations. The Council of American Islamic Relations, they want this documentary removed from the airwaves. And Megyn Kelly said, you know, essentially, go to hell, I'm not doing it. And this is promising. And the mainstream media, a person within the industry said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. This is a trailer from this Honor Diaries. And you can buy it. I'll put the link in the chat room. You can purchase it as well. But here we go.
My sister was telling me how unhappy she was in her marriage, and I said to her, come to me. She said, I can't, because I have to think about honor. She didn't want to dishonor the family by leaving her husband. In the end, she set herself on fire, Rabina did, and she died. The concept of honor, it's very difficult to explain it to Western societies. Honor is something that is carried and contained in women and is there to be guarded by men. Anything from wearing short sleeves, refusing to wear a headscarf, being seen talking to a man, those things can be deemed dishonorable.
Thousands of women have been detained for dressing un-Islamically, like this woman screaming as she's pushed into a police car.
The honor system in Muslim-majority societies is really the basis of a lot of harm that is perpetuated against women.
It's systematic, institutionalized misogyny.
There was crying and begging him to stop. Then he put his hand on my mouth like this. I couldn't breathe. I was crying. But he used me anyway.
The issue of forced marriages, child marriage, and honor abuse is a worldwide problem.
When you do defense with what is between mainstream belief, you are ostracized. There are threats of murder, there are threats of rape, physical mutilation.
It's important to talk about what happens physically so that every human being, male and female, understands that the genitals of the female are cut. We don't need sympathy, empathy, pity. We need systematic change in the Muslim world.
Egypt, women have raised their voices and their fists in demanding universal rights.
People of all backgrounds can make a difference.
My sister's in solidarity. There has never been a better time than now to turn the tide.
We need a full army of women helping other women.
We will speak up for our rights and we will bring change to the world.
There are so many stories out there about the abuse of women within Islam. There are so many movies you can see. There are so many books you can read. One story. I'm sorry. One story that really touched me was this movie, The Stoning of Soria M. She was stoned to death, and this was in shortly after the Shah of Iran came into power and reinstituted the Sharia law. If you have a chance to see that movie, The Stoning of Sharia M, watch it, but just be mindful. It's very, very powerful. But these people, they're not people, they're car animals. And they kill their own women. The level of brutality they're capable of never ceases to amaze me. Never. And when women finally start to speak out, it's not the Mujahideen. It's not Hamas. It's not the Muslim Brotherhood. It's the goddamn Council of American Islamic Relations that wants it shut down, that is federally funded. Good God. They come along and they see this documentary and they say it's Islamophobic. Possibly be Islamophobic when the very people featured in this documentary are women of the Islamic faith themselves. Council of American Relations. Coming to a town near you. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. They're already here. I thought that the Council of American Islamic Relations wanted to build bridges and try to dupe us into the moderation of Islam. Oh, I thought that, you know, they had the classes and the seminars and the schools. But no. They just want to push us down. They want to slowly, politically, monetarily, and civilly kill us. But they really want to kill the women really bad. They're complicit. They're complicit in this 192nd meeting that took place amongst the Islamic think tank there in Islamabad. They're complicit. They're in agreement. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about our democracies nor our constitutions. They'll step all over us. I can't believe it. And that's why Megyn Kelly gets my applause of the week, because she said, fuck you. Get the hell out of my studio. Don't you even dare come near me and tell me what I'm going to do with my own program. And she shut them down. But you know, CARE, they don't stop. They're not going to stop at her either. CARE will go after anybody and everything that moves. If they even think there's a whiff of, air quotes, Islamophobia. Look what they do to our friends. Look what they do to Bonnie, a Bare Naked Islam. You know, they shut her site down for close to 2 months because somebody was speaking the truth. Look what they're doing to my co-host, Tim Burton. They're taking him to a tribunal, and I call it a tribunal. It's actually a magistrate's hearing. Because he called Fayez Magala, tell mama what he is, a liar. Look what they're doing to Sunny England of the EDL. Somebody threw a can at him, and he picked it up and he tossed it back. And the police said, no, you were throwing it at the police. And Sunny England said, no, I was not. I was throwing the trash back. He went to court today. He pleaded no contest. He's got to go back to court at great expense. Eric Brazel of Canada in Toronto was sentenced to 9.5 months in prison for what? Distributing little placards with quotes from the Quran on them and handwriting, they're here, they're breeding, and they're dangerous. He didn't get taken to a human rights tribunal, which is the norm for Muslims to do, because that's what they do. you know, they think that they have a way to get at us, the legal jihad. And they usually take us to a tribunal. But Eric Brazil, he was actually taken to a court proper, and that was the first of its time in Ontario, Canada. He lost. He lost. For what? I had been following that particular case for a very long time, well, since its inception. And so I've become quite familiar with that case and Eric Brazil. And yesterday, when I open up my national dailies and I see that he has been convicted of a hate crime, that scared the living crap out of me, as well it should you. All over the place. My cousins in the United States, you do everything you can to ensure your freedom of speech, because you're the only country on the planet that has freedom of speech. You can get a soapbox and you can stand there and say, Islam sucks and Islam is dangerous. And Islam, as Sarah Bella says, Islam is a hate crime. You can do that in the United States. We can't do that in Canada. We can't do that in the UK. When we try, we get tried by a tribunal or a court of so-called law. It breaks my heart to see how people who are prescient and know the threat of Islam, what they're trying to do to inform us and educate us and do it in a way. We are confrontational, sure, but you know what? So are they. And it's not a two-way street. Here in Ontario, Canada, every time Ramadan Ding Dong ends, they have their Al-Quds Day. And they're allowed to occupy my provincial park, my Queen's Park. That's my park. That's where my MPP sit. The members of provincial parliament. The members of provincial parliament sit there. They allot space. It's a big park, and they allot space. And they allow these Al-Quds rallies to go on. And they get 12-year-old boys up on the podium saying that the Jews are the enemy, and they get away with it. They get grown men up there saying that any Jew over the age of 18 is a target for killing, and they get away with it, yes, here in Canada. We allow organizations like the Muslim Student Association to file lawsuits against any other student organization that tries to organize a Jewish Appreciation Day. But they're allowed to underfoot Israel Apartheid Week. Something is so wrong here. I'm going to try to find this clip. Let me see if I can find it. I might be able to do a quick search here. But this disgusts me that we speak the truth and we get persecuted. And I did say persecuted. I didn't say prosecuted, I said persecuted. We speak the truth, and we're backed up with facts, as was Eric Brazil and Tim Burton and Sonny England and Ezra Levant and Mark Stein and Pastor Terry Jones. And it goes on and on and on. But they can stand on a podium and they can espouse their shit and get away with it. I got something here. I did find something. I got a lot here. But listen to this. I just want to make sure I don't get a pop-up. No pop-up. Here we go. Ilias Hassan, ex-president of the anti-Semitic NGO Palestine House, calls for Israelites to be shot after 2 minutes warning to get out. Yeah, that's right. Palestine, the Palestine, Hamas. Ilias Hassina, who is the ex-president of the anti-Semitic NGO Palestine House, he calls for Israelites to be shot after 2 minutes warning to get out.
We have to give them an ultimatum. You have to leave Jerusalem. You have to leave Palestine. And the people of Palestine who've been waiting in refugee camps in Lebanon, in Syria, in Egypt, and in Jordan must have the right to return to their homes. We cannot bring people from Russia and from Europe to live in the home that my grandfather built. It's unacceptable. It's not justice. And we will restore justice. I want to remind you of how police work. When somebody tries to rob a bank, the police get in, they don't negotiate. And we've been negotiating with them for 65 years. We say, get out or you're dead. We give them 2 minutes and then we start shooting. And that's the only way that they will understand. I am a reminder of the verse from the Quran. وَاعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَصَبَعْكُمْ مِنْ قُوَّ وَرِبَاطَ الْخَيْرِ. That's the only thing that I understand.
And I want to thank Blazing Cat for that clip as well. They're the ones that posted that. And Blazing Cat is one of my favorite websites to go to. It's probably one of the most prolific websites out of Canada talking about the scourge of Islam. That one and 5 Feet of Fury. Those websites are good. So if you Google there, and you'll see what's going on. But see what I mean? That asshole stood there, and yeah, Cerebella, yeah, he said they can start shooting after a 2 minute warning. Yeah. And he stood there on that soapbox in my Queen's Park, and he got away with it. Now, can you imagine? Yes, you can. Why do I even go there with you folks? God, I got the smartest listeners. You know where I was going. Can you imagine if I stood up and said that Islam is this or Islam is that? Yeah, we get hauled off. Why do these Islamists get away with it? I do not understand. How bad? And I want to say goodnight to Minx. Thanks, Minx. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for being here. How do we, combat this? I was at EDL Radio today, and full disclosure, I'm the producer there with Jeff Mitchell, so yeah, I better, talk about that show because he's my boss. But we were discussing this issue about, yesterday, in fact, we were. And we were discussing about David Cameron cracking down on the Muslim Brotherhood and what is the motivation behind that. And Jeff nailed it. It's election time. It's election time. That's why he's doing it, Cal. And he's totally right. You see, the politicians, they're kind of like bears, except they hibernate a lot longer than bears. You know, bears hibernate in the wintertime. They get up. They breed. They walk about. And then when the cold weather comes along, they hibernate. But once a politician, they hibernate until the new election time is due. You can be elected into a four-year term because there are such things called fixed elections, fixed election dates, I mean. Like, not the elections are rigged or anything like that. It's just that we have fixed elections. So they get elected in, they get on the podium and they say this and the other thing. And a lot of times they do try to live up to their promises, but they have to work with federally the House of Commons or provincially in Canada, Queen's Park, or in the UK. They have to work with the Parliament or the United States. They have to work with the House and the Senate. So sometimes you're a lone wolf and you're doing the damnedest you can. But for the most part, they hibernate and they go to sleep. Yes, they sleep very, very deep until election time comes around and they wake up again. And it's like, oh, podium time, election mode, here we go, fundraising. I'm going to get that block vote, David Cameron. Boom, right there. Now he wants to deal with the Muslim Brotherhood in the UK? Are you kidding me? How many years have you been Prime Minister of that country, David Cameron? How many studies have crossed your desk? How many people do you need to ask? Now you want to crack down on MB activities in the UK? Are you out of your bloody mind? We can see right through you now because Sarah Bella, what she just said in the chat room, and Agador as well. Rigged elections. See, we're very jaundiced politicians. We're quite jaundiced, in fact, because we see the games and we see how the cards are and the ilk. Election time, they're going to make change. But we see right through them. And then we got the panderers, too. Voting blocks. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to promise that Muslim students will be recused from Friday afternoon classes so that they can attend their Friday afternoon prayers. I'm going to promise that. Boom! There's your voting block right there. Ooh, I'm going to vote for this guy or this gal. Politicians stink. They really, really stink. And they don't do a damned thing about organizations, whether it be across the sea or be right here. They're not listening to the Council of Islamic Ideology, concluding that women should be killed because women are un-Islamic and that their mere existence contradicts Sharia and the will of Allah. They don't stand up against that. No, what they do instead is that they allow a Palestinian terrorist to become UN ambassadors and sit in that stupid gray building that should be pushed into the East River, grant him a passport to come over and represent Iran. I said Palestinian, didn't I? I meant Iranian. My apologies. Oh, well. Live radio, you get what you get. That's what these politicians do. They don't speak out for the woman who was beheaded in her kitchen because her husband thought she burnt supper. And believe me, it doesn't take much more than that. They don't stand up for the rights of women globally. They see the oppression of women. And they think, well, it's happening over there. Yeah, it's happening over there, but bloody hell, it's happening here as well. What do you think is going to happen when the Council of Islamic Ideology concluded their 192nd meeting yesterday? What do you think is going to happen in the conclusion of that? There's going to be a pamphlet passed around. You mark my words. I am speculating right now, but mark my words. There's going to be a pamphlet. Not calling for the death of women, but probably something along the lines that we need to furtherance Sharia. This sort of, okay, I've sworn enough for the night. But this garbage, it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds such a momentum that it's so powerful, it still falls on us. And we are at the point now where we're underneath that snowball. All you see are feet and hands sticking out underneath that snowball. And you're going to ask yourself, how did I get here? We got here because of complacency. We got here because we voted for the wrong people. We got here because we didn't vote in the first place. The politicians won't help us. We have to help ourselves. This is why we need organizations. We need watchdog groups like the English Defense League and the Tea Party. Taxed enough already. We have to get grassroots. We have to listen to people like Mike Holt of Restore Australia and getting grassroots with the politician, with the Constitution and ensuring that people have a say in their country. We cannot allow politicians to ride roughshod over us and rewrite our Constitution or have the politicians violate our Constitution. We are the people. The Constitution belongs to us. It was written for us, and we have a right to defend it, and we have a right to have a say in it. And bloody hell, I'll be damned if organizations like the Council of Islamic Ideology come over here and influence our Constitution and our laws. I'll be damned. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap it up because, like I say, it was I had quite a busy day today and quite a busy week because, yeah, I got to take care of poor Brandy. She's not doing well. She's been keeping me up at nights like you wouldn't believe, and so I want to, you know, tend to her. And then I might try to slip over and listen to a Reactionary Speaks, Fast and Furious Fridays. So if you guys are game and you're wide awake, get over there because that's where I usually go next for my next cup of tea. But I am done. I am out of here. I want to thank you all for joining me. Believe me, I love the company. You guys are all the best. And you guys got to remember that it is mass Islamity and we have to stop the insanity. I want you all to have a nice weekend, a great weekend. And I'll see you back here Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time with my co-host, Tim Burton. Bye, everybody.